John 4, verses 23-30. The main character in this passage, other than Jesus Christ himself, is a woman with low morals and a bad reputation. This is seen in the fact that she came to Jacob's well to get water at noon, during the hottest part of the day. The other woman would have come early in the morning or late in the evening to get water. History tells us that those gatherings were often opportunities for the women to catch up on their gossip. Verse 18 tells us why she didn't come with the other women. In fact, she was probably the subject of their gossip on many occasions. Verse 18 tells us, "For you have five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly." A woman, numerous husbands, numerous lovers. When she arrives at the well this day, she meets a man named Jesus. He tells her about an everlasting well of water from which she can take one drink and never thirst again. We read it out in verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." This woman hears about the true path of salvation, and she is saved by the grace of God. You have to admit, it must have been a wonderful day for her. I want to look at simple faith today. Jesus had come to his own people, the Jewish people, and had demonstrated his power and his identity through many miracles and signs. He had perfectly fulfilled the prophecies about the Messiah, and yet the Jewish people had rejected him. In John 1, we read he came unto his own, but they received him not. Received him not. But here is a woman, a child of the hated race of the Samaritan. She hears the words of God, and she believes. Simple faith. There's no miracles. No water is turned into wine. No demons are cast out. No multitudes are fed with a little bread and a few fish. No one walks on water. No one is raised from the dead. Jesus simply tells her the truth, and she believes it, and she is saved. Here is simple faith. This is the kind of faith that saves souls. Jesus said that we had to come to him as little children. We read in Matthew 18, verses 1-5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called the little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." A simple faith, a childlike faith. What we're talking about is we need to lose all pretense. We're to be open and to honest. And to be honest, we are to simply believe Christ by faith. Saving faith is a simple faith. Grace works in the heart of the sinner and shows him his condition. Grace shows the sinner where to look to be saved, and grace provides the faith to look. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourself, it is the gift of God." Saving faith, a simple faith. After the woman meets Jesus Christ and believes in him, that he is the Messiah, she forgets everything but him. She drops her water pot, heads back into the city to tell the others that he's there, the Messiah. This man, who moments before had meant absolutely nothing to her, was now, notice, the focus, the all with all of her thoughts now and her actions. An amazing transformation has taken place. This is how it works for everyone who meets Jesus Christ. One moment, he is the Lord Jesus Christ, some holy, distant man who died on the cross. But then faith comes, faith is exercised, and he instantly becomes a personal friend and the absolute focus and the center of your being. His salvation is amazing because it brings about such an instantaneous depth of change. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 17, we read, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That is what happened with this woman. The old things have passed away. The old lovers in her life, the old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what happens when a person is regenerated, when a person is born again. That is what Christ told Nicodemus. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A simple faith. Think about all the things that changed for you when you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. This woman left town that day a dirty, hated sinner. Wicked. The women of the town hated her because she was an easy touch for the men. The men used the body. They didn't care a thing about her. They just wanted to gratify their lusts. She left town a nobody, but she returned to a town a newborn child of God, regenerated, an heir of salvation, a joint heir with Christ. Everything had changed in an instant when simple faith is exercised in Jesus Christ and a soul is saved. Sincere faith quickly develops in the heart of the believer. After she is saved, the first thing this woman wants to do is go and tell somebody else. She ran back to the town, to the crowd who knew her best and told them about Jesus Christ. In verses 28 and 29, the woman left her water pot, went away into the city, and said to the men, she left, she went, and she said, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And he answers, "Yes, it could be, and it was, and it is the Christ." Not only did she tell them about him, she invited them to come and meet him for themselves. This is what a child of God does. He tells others. He wants others to be saved. She said, "He's still out there, and what he did for me, he'll do for you, if you will simply come to him." 30 years later, after being regenerated, I'm still just crying out to people, "Whosoever will come, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." She had a sincere faith, a simple faith. She had a sharing faith. And it must have done some good, her telling the people, because several of those people believed. And others came to know Christ because of her invitation. Suffice it to say, this woman was responsible for turning a town to God. She was the tool that the Lord used. Verses 39 to 42. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him, because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all things I ever did.' So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word," Christ's own word. The person that saved, they used as a tool in the hand of God to bring the people to Christ. The word of Christ saves. It is Christ alone that saves, and we are the instruments that he uses, those who have come to Christ. This woman had the kind of testimony that most people like to parade around in churches and show off. She had one of those quote-unquote spectacular testimonies of a life saved from the bottom, one of the dregs of society. In this case, the Lord took one of the vilest citizens of that town and used her to bring many souls to Christ. However, you do not have to go to the bottom to have a great testimony. Anyone that is saved has a great testimony because the scripture says, and you were dead in your sins and trespasses. Dead. No matter how good and moral of a person that you are, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none who do good, no, not one. There's none who understands, there's none who seek after God. No matter how moral and sweet and clean and kind and everything you may look to society, the scripture says the soul that sins shall surely die. We're all in the same boat together. There's no greater testimony and a lesser testimony. The greatest testimony is I was dead in my sins and trespasses, and he made me alive. There's something about meeting Christ that makes you want to tell others about him. It's hard to keep it to yourself. It is comforting to know that as we attempt to witness to others, we have the promise of God in that manner. Christ said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Behold, I am with you to the end of the age. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. She had a sharing faith, a simple faith. Something about this woman was different when she came running back into town. I guarantee you that they had never heard her talk about religion before. Now here she is talking to them about the Lord Jesus Christ and inviting them to meet him. The change in her life was plain to see. When the Lord is truly in your life, it'll get out. It'll come out. The thing inside will come out to the outside. You won't be able to keep him a secret when he lives in you. I guess that's what Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16 is about. Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, notice, and glorify your Father in heaven. Glorify your Father in heaven. That is what we have been called to do, brothers and sisters, those of us that are saved. We're called to be salt. We're called to be light. We're being conformed into the image of Christ, and we're to go out into this world. We're in our families, in our jobs, in our neighborhoods, to those that we come in contact with, and we're to be a light and salt to them, and we're to point them to Christ. You know, people they call Jesus freaks, quote unquote. That was back in the day. I got a little age on me. I don't know if they exactly call you a Jesus freak anymore. You've met these kind of people, haven't you? You know the ones. They're always praising the Lord in public. They pray over their food. Sometimes they'll have a New Testament or tracts in their pocket. They'll talk about Christ. You know, that loud crowd. I pray you, the Lord will do that to every one of us. I pray he will fill us up so we can get a good case of, I can't help it. I gotta tell people, I gotta make fools about it. I gotta make a fool out of myself for the sake of Jesus Christ. She had a saving faith, a simple faith. This woman had saving faith. She went to the well that day to get enough of water to last the day. She returned with enough of spiritual water to last an eternity. She got more than she bargained for. And my friend, if you come to Jesus Christ, you will get more than you ever bargained for. For then you would have truly found the meaning of life. The meaning of life is Christ, and Christ alone. This life is all about Jesus Christ. This life is not all about you. That is what you're told all the time. Every commercial, every program on TV, your friends, your family, everybody since you were a kid tells you it's all about you. But that's not what the scripture says. In Colossians 1, let me read to you about Christ, beginning at verse 16. Unbeliever, this is for you. Believer, this is for you. One is to cause you to come to Christ. The other is to cause you to be built up in Christ. Colossians 1, beginning at verse 16. Why I said to you, this life is not about you. It's about Christ. For by him, Christ, all things were created. Who is this Jewish carpenter that it said about this man, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. That's why I told you all of life is about Christ. It's not about you. It's about Christ because all things were created through him and for him, for his purposes, for his glory. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17. All things created in heaven, on the earth, visible and invisible. Thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created through him and for him. This is why the woman cried out that day. This is why she went and told others, because she came to realize that life was not about her, but it was about Christ, the living water, the one whom you would come to satisfy that thirst. You know, that thirst and that hunger that all your life you've been chasing people, places, and things. Drugs, sex, money, careers, lying, stealing, cheating, gossiping. Just go on and on and on and on and on. You've tried to satisfy that thirst. You've been maybe unrighteous, sexually immoral, wicked, covetous, malicious, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-minded, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. My friend, I just told you what Paul told us in Romans 1 about the natural man, his condition. And those that do these things, they know the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same things, but also approve of those who practice them. My friend, I'm begging with you, pleading with you, come to Christ today. And be converted, be regenerated, come to the living water, come to the light of the world. Come to Christ, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And brothers and sisters, these truths ought to cause your faith to explode. A simple faith that is on fire. A simple faith that is on fire because they have fallen in love with Christ and all that Christ has done. Let us, brothers and sisters, be a people of gratitude. Let us look to the most precious one, the one to whom all things were created, for him and by him.